Joshua chapter 6 this evening. How exciting. Kind of contemplating how this has kind of played out for us as we got started. As we know that they were called by God as God's people to ultimately go and possess the land. This is the promised land. This is from years and years earlier with the promises made to Abraham and to his descendants. And so this is basically their destiny, is to go and step in and embrace the promised land and to walk in that newness of life. And it's an abundant life, and God's called us to that as followers. It's not just this, you know, fanciful concept, but that it's a spiritual reality that we can walk in that newness of life and enjoy the Spirit's work in our lives. And God not only having this relationship with Him and having everlasting life given to us, but that we can walk in this newness and experience that full life that God has intended for us. And that it's ours today. It's ours for the future. So it's not only when we die and we go get to be with the Lord and now we've crossed over Jordan, what did I see coming for to carry me home, you know? Or looking for that band of angels, you know? I'm all for it, but the thing is that there's no more battles there. There's no more suffering. There's no more tears. So obviously, there's something else being spoken of. And so this is where we get this typology and this understanding that this promised land is the life in the Spirit, the Spirit-filled journey of the believer. And so that's exciting to me. It's amazing to watch God at work and how He can move in and through our lives. It's one thing to have God living within us. It's quite another thing, which is awesome, but it's quite another thing to have Him moving through us, to be His agent. Oh, what a wonderful thing. And the thing is that's every believer's calling. God wants to give that. He says, if you ask for the Holy Spirit, He will not withhold that from you. He will give it to those who ask. And so it's just a matter of asking. And because, you know, Satan has a heyday with some of these things, and Paul warned of this handful of concerns that are out there. Don't be ignorant about, you know, the end times. You know, Paul said, don't be unaware of the last days. Don't be unaware of the teachings regarding this. And then he also, one of the other things that he mentioned in that handful of them was don't be ignorant regarding spiritual matters like this, the working of God's Holy Spirit, not to be unaware or uninformed about that. And this is why he's given us his word and that we might understand it. And I think it's been a great thing. You know, when they first crossed over, we know that they started to cross over, it was by faith. So this whole life in the Spirit is an experience by faith, so that I'm trusting God. I'm not trusting in me, I'm not trusting in friends, I'm not trusting in anybody but the one true living God. And He calls us to step out by faith, one foot in front of the other, and that even though I don't see it happening in advance, I'm believing God at His word that He said to trust Him and to step out. And so as they stepped out, we saw that it certainly was by faith. Because before the priest's foot hit the top of the water at the Jordan, the waters parted and the foot landed right on dry ground. Now again, we talked about the apprehension that could be involved with that, of the thought of, oh my, what if in fact I put my foot out and I'm doing what Joshua said to do. I'm following the leading of God. I'm following the direction of the person that God's put in front of us that's giving us this direction to cross over and possess the land. But what happens if I step out and, oh my goodness, what happens if I put my foot out and I just kerplunk, you know, and I'm walking around in knee-deep water carrying the ark around? You see, this is the thing. What's interesting to me, man, if we could embrace this, I really think this is powerful. When God speaks the word, do you remember we learned this on Sunday morning, that Jesus' word, Jesus saying it, is Jesus empowering to do it? That Jesus has the power when He says it to accomplish what He said? And I think this is part of a God concept that we need to embrace, is that when God speaks to us through His word, Jesus is the living word. And so it's Jesus speaking to us.
that we have to follow through and trust him. And when we step out, even though we're freaked out, I understand, even though we don't understand how this is going to come together, but when we step out by faith, and that when we step out and we just, God meets us right there. It's an instant. It's a split second. It's a nanosecond. It's a fraction of a nanosecond, whatever that is. But you know, it's just this fragmented, just little, just boop, just happens. God meets you right there at that time. The natural side of us is apprehension, isn't it? We're not sure because it's that seeing is believing thing that we're just is like inbred into our minds and our hearts. But that's not the life of faith, you see? That's just not the life of faith. Now, they cross over by faith. They follow through. God meets them right there. They cross over. And the first thing that God said, you know, let's build an altar. Get a place where you can just come back to and just remember this monumental time. The 12 stones get piled up, you know? And they just get to stand there and just, you know, it's just in awe of who God is, and they're reflecting on the goodness of God and his grace and his mercy. So we're kind of starting to see something that might be something that might help us as believers, that as we step out by faith, as we're trusting the Lord, that we're to take a moment as we step out. God meets us in those moments. Take a moment in those moments and enjoy and reflect and adore, worship, acknowledge that it's God. Oh, to tuck those away in our pocket and to be able to pull that little memory card out once in a while. I've got my pockets are bulging with these things. You see, I pull these things out regularly and remember, oh, that's right. Because you see, those things are your ticket to the future. Because God's faithfulness yesterday is his statement and testimony to you and me of his faithfulness tomorrow and the next day and on into eternity. Isn't that great to know? And as we prayed in our opening prayer that God's got yours and my eternal best interest in mind at all times. So they build this little pile of rocks. I love it. It's just some riverbed rocks, you know? They just pull them out of the bottom of the creek and they just brought them up there and they just kind of set them down. And that's kind of their memorial. It's not some big fancy, huge awesomeness thing. It's just a pile of rocks, really. Not to them. That was a place where God met them. That's a sacred spot in their hearts. You see, we need to have those in our hearts, in our lives. Those spots that we just know, man, God met me there. I never grow tired of telling anyone the story of when Jesus came back into my life and made himself real to me. When he ministered to my deepest need and touched me right where I needed to be touched. Like no person, no anybody could ever touch except for Jesus could touch that place. And you see, when God's met you like that, you will never, ever, ever, I don't care how messed up you get, you'll never, ever forget God meeting you at that place. And I never grow tired of talking about that. You remember the song, I Love to Tell the Story? You know, it's true. Every one of us as believers have a story. And we get to share that of when God came down and met our need. Oh, it's a wonderful thing. It's a powerful thing. Those are things to tuck in your pocket. And you know what? That's just the beginning. There's event after circumstance after event after circumstance that come across our paths where we get to step out by faith again and watch God meet us in our need, in that point, where all of a sudden we just make this special, miraculous contact with God. Wouldn't it be wild if we lived in such a way that could happen all the time, every day? I believe it can. I believe God wants to meet us in those spots every day and just touch us right where we're at. So we saw them cross over by faith. We saw them build this pile of rocks that's their kind of a memory spot where they come back to and talk about it with their kids, and it's just a great point. And all of a sudden, they get over there, and it's time to kind of start taking over some ground. You know, so when you go to take some ground, there's going to be a battle ensued. There's going to be some stronghold. There's going to be some engagement with the enemy over it. That's just a simple fact. But what's interesting is, who does Joshua come in contact with at the end of chapter 5 when we find out, as he's there going and kind of looking over, it came to pass when verse 13 of chapter 5, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" And he said, "No." I had to read it again just because I like it so much. "But as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." He says, "I'm God. You know, I'm Jesus. I'm for whatever God wants to do." And I think that's my position all the time. "Well, you got to make a decision, Pastor." "Oh, no, I don't. I'm no. I'm for God. Whatever God wants to do is, well, what's that? I don't know, but I'm for it. I'm not always sure what God's going to do, but I know that's what I'm for. Whatever it is that God wants to do, and however God's going to do it, that's what I want to stand with." Who wants to be found going against the Lord? It's better just to be in the flow and let God have his way. Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshiped and said to him, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" This is one of the ways we know that this was a Christophany, because as we read through in Revelation and other places in Scripture, we find that angelic beings say, "No, whoa, whoa, dude, stand up. You know, don't worship me. I'm just a fellow servant like you." You remember when we went through Revelation, we saw John having that kind of interaction with some of the angelic beings. And here, he receives the worship. It can only be Jesus, commander of all the forces of the universe. Oh my, I like that. Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, "Take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy." And Joshua did so. Yeah, it's good to get to places like that once in a while, isn't it, in our lives? Where it's just, man, time to get the shoes off. You realize God's with us as we gather together this evening? Those listening in with us and those of us here together, God's in our midst. He's moving. He's here, and he wants to speak to our hearts. He wants to engage us. He wants to reveal himself to us. That's just who he is. And not only that, he wants to hang out with us and enjoy the fruit of his presence in our lives. And we're like the garden that he wants to walk through and just enjoy being with us. What a powerful truth. Now, Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. They knew what had happened. They know that the waters parted. They know some of the stories from the last 45 years of the things that have gone on as they had been delivered. They've heard the story. They know what's going on. And they're pretty concerned. They're pretty freaked out. Mind you, God's still concerned and interested in giving them an opportunity. But notice that they're securely closed up. Just think about this. There's those that we interact with that we want to share Jesus, but they securely shut down. We'll talk about that in a minute as we get into the study a little bit further, but is there some interesting things in here this evening? I don't title these, but if I was to title it, you know, I would really look at things like maybe, heading for a breakdown could be one. You start thinking about what's in your way, what's the obstacle, what's the issue. You know, as we start looking at this, they're looking at something as a people. Even though they've watched God move, here they are up against it again. This is the life of faith. So if you're getting tired of it, readjust the dial, get tuned back in. Because this is the way it's going to be. This is the Christian experience. It's a life of faith. So if we keep seeking to find this place where I'm going to get in the comfortable groove, well, let me know when you find it in the Lord. Because God doesn't necessarily want you and I to be just comfortable all the time. He wants us to be active and usable. And so as they're here, they're up against this insurmountable task seemingly. And the Lord said to Joshua,
See, I have given Jericho into your hand, and we talked about this a little bit in our conclusion, and the mighty men of valor. He says, I've given this to you. It's a done deal. Do you realize that your issues and my issues, it's a done deal? That he died on the cross for your sin, past, present, and future? That it's a done, it's taken care of? Really, there's an appropriation that needs to go on a regular basis where we are appropriating the blood of Jesus Christ. Where we're just continually appropriating that on the doorpost and the lintel of our hearts, we are marked out as his and we're receiving and acknowledging that washing and that cleansing on an ongoing basis. You shall march around the city, he says. This is what I want you to do. And this is, you know, any person that's been involved in the military knows that this is standard protocol and just a regular business as usual way to engage in battle. You shall march around the wall, all you and your men of war, and you shall go around the city once. This you shall do 6 days. So you get out, march around it. Every day you just go out, march around it. You know, it just makes good battle sense. You know, you're not vulnerable or anything, just wandering around, marching around outside the city wall. It seems like you've got to be kidding me kind of a thing. Now, one of the great things about this, remember this when you need the wall to come down. Remember this. This is significant. Who is the one that's giving you the direction? Who are you following? Look, this is Jesus, commander of all the forces of the universe, talking to them, talking to Joshua, the leader, giving them the instructions, and Jesus is really the one leading them. See, when I know that, when you know that, when we know that, that God's the one leading our lives, the steps of a righteous are directed by the Lord. God is leading our lives. God is giving us guidance and direction. And we can take confidence in that. And seven priests shall bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the seventh day you shall march around the city seven times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. Now, the thing is it's kind of interesting. They're to march around this thing. They're to do these things, and every bit of this is contrary to basically the Torah, the things that they were given in their instructions. All of this. All of this is contrary to the religious concepts that they were given. Every bit of it. Who's present there in the midst of this? Who did we just talk with is there in the mix of this? Jesus, the commander of all the four. Jesus. Jesus is there in the mix with this, and you know what goes out the window when Jesus is there? Religiosity. It's gone. Because Jesus is, everything else was a shadow of what is to come. Jesus is the substance of it. Jesus is in charge. See, when Jesus is in charge of our lives, it separates us from that whole religious weirdness that can set in the do's and don'ts and don't, you know. Jesus gets in there and just, nope, let's do it this way. Oh, okay. That's totally different than what we talked about earlier, but cool. You know, Joshua's following. This is all a whole thing of faith. It's important, one, that we're following Jesus, isn't it? Okay, so people say, well, the Spirit told me. Oh, okay. If the Spirit told you something, make sure you got it documented here, too. Because God's not the author of confusion, one. And two, God is not going to say anything that's contrary or different to his word. Because God doesn't work against himself. And it's a triune Godhead. So the Spirit tells you something, the Word's going to back it. Or else you got to say, I got to test the spirits, like John, 1 John tells us. Test the spirits, weigh it out, make sure it's from the Lord, because maybe it's not from God. If it's not from God, whoop, trash it. I can't find documentation for it. Oh, it's gone. I don't even file it. I just get rid of it. Now, the things that I see that I don't understand very well, but I do see them in Scripture, that goes in the file waiting for further instructions or more information because I don't get it yet. But that's not God's fault. That's not the Spirit's fault. That's just me. You know, I'm waiting to get more information on what I'm supposed to do or how I'm doing. Here, they're getting good, clear instruction, aren't they? Do this. March around the wall. Handle it this way. It shall come to pass, in verse 5,
when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when they hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout. Then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, every man straight before him. So, that's the plan. You get the first six verses, that's the plan. Now the plan's got to be implemented and go into the hands of the priests and the leaders and the rest of the people. So the plan came from God, went into Joshua's hands. Joshua now is going to disseminate this into other people's hands so that they can start to organize and orchestrate whatever it is that God's wanting to do. Plan is, we're going to do something a little different than we normally do. We're going to grab the ark. The ark was never to go into battle. I'm just giving you a few samplers out there. The ark wasn't supposed to go into battle. Not engaged in it. And here it's going right out to march around. There's little things, nuances, things in there that are like, that's interesting. That's totally different than what we talked about earlier. But cool. Who's there? Jesus. Jesus is there. Religion, out the door. Righteousness, present. Follow that. Let God lead. Then Joshua, the son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, take up the Ark of the Covenant and let seven priests bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the Ark of the Lord. And he said to the people, proceed and march around the city and let him who is armed advance before the Ark of the Lord. So it was when Joshua spoke to all the people that the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horns went before the Lord, advanced and blew the trumpets, and the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord followed them. The armed men went before the priests and blew the trumpets, and the rear guard came up after the Ark while the priests continued blowing the trumpets. Now Joshua had commanded the people, saying, you shall not shout or make any noise with your voice, nor shall a word proceed out of your mouth until the day I tell you. Shout, then you shall shout. So, he had the Ark of the Lord circle the city, going around it once, and they came back into the camp and lodged in the camp. One of the things you might notice is what they did and what they didn't do. As they went out to march around, they just went around the city. But they themselves were quiet. They were just quiet. They weren't sitting around gabbing with each other, talking about nonsense stuff. They weren't complaining about, well, this is the stupidest idea Joshua's ever come up with. You know, they're nothing. They're just zipping it. They're just doing what God said to do as they were instructed from Joshua, from the Lord, and they're just doing that. They're just following what God said to do. Then think about this for us as believers, and we're going to talk about application about this in a minute. We're just kind of going over the quick overview, and then we'll get into practical application for us in our lives today. But just think of what they're doing and what they're not doing. They're not flapping their yappers, talking about nonsense. They're just following the Lord. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the Ark of the Lord. Then seven priests bearing seven trumpets of ram's horns before the Ark of the Lord went on continually and blew the trumpets. And the armed men went before them. But the rear guard came up after the Ark of the Lord while the priests continued blowing the trumpets. And the second day they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. So they did 6 days. But it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and marched around the city. So this would have been a Sabbath day, right? Once is one thing. Maybe even a legit distance to walk on a Sabbath. But now what are they told to do? Interesting, isn't it? About the dawning of the seventh day and marched around the city 7 times. In the same manner, on that day, when they marched around the city 7 times, and on the 7th time it happened, when the priests blew the trumpets, that Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. Now the city shall be doomed by the Lord to destruction, and all who are in it. Only Rahab, the harlot, shall live, she and all who are with her in her house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And you, by all means, abstain from the accursed things. Now, if you have a red pen,
or any type of pen. I circled, this is with my bright orange pen, this one was. And it's got the a box around verse 18 and a big asterisk by it. Abstain from the accursed things, lest you become accursed when you take of the accursed things and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and the vessels of bronze and iron are consecrated to the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So the people shouted when the priest blew the trumpet, and it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout that the wall fell down flat. When the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city, and they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, ox and sheep and donkey, with the edge of the sword. So, this whole first portion of this is they go out, they march around the city, they come back in, they march around the city, they come back in, they do this six times, the seventh day, they go out, they march seven times around, and then they blow the trumpets, they shout, and the walls come down. Now, just think with me for a second. Why didn't God just tell them? I think this way. When I'm looking for a wall that needs to come down, when I've got an insurmountable thing that's out there, and I know God can deal with this, and I'm trusting God by faith to do this, I know He can do this, why, God, are we marching around this thing again? Why do we have to circumvent this situation? I've seen it. I can't deal with it. It's clear. It's an insurmountable thing. I get it. Oh, no, go around again. You know what? You start to see it for what it really is. You can't do anything about it. You start to see the wall for what it is. A strong fortress that you can't take. You cannot deal. They couldn't deal with it. Not in and of themselves. So one of the things God is wanting to prepare and have their hearts right toward Him in their interaction. This is all about God raising a family, God training up His people. It's about God wanting us to understand His ways in things, and that it's not going to be the same old business as usual. Well, I used to just go at it this way, and I'd do it that way, and you know, hey, that's great. We're not in the world anymore. As Christians, we don't have that. We don't function like that anymore. We do different things. We just go march around the wall. We do whatever God tells us to do is the first key. We do what God tells us to do regardless of our comprehension of what He's trying to do in that. The idea is they march around it, and each time they march around it, all they're looking at is, wow, that's a big wall. That is one big wall. Wow. Whew, day three, that is one big wall. You know, by the time you're in the fifth and sixth day, yeah, that's a really big wall, you know. And now, the seventh day, round and round we go, seven times. They're pretty convinced by this time that it's a pretty big wall, don't you think? God's wanting to show them something. It's a big wall. That's all God wants them to see. It's a big wall, and that they can't deal with it. So bottom line is, when you get to that point, it's like, okay, this is something that it's only going to come not by might, nor by power, but by My Spirit, saith the Lord. That's how that wall is going to come down, by the Spirit of the living God. And you see, no matter what your struggle is tonight, no matter what my circumstance is, no matter what the situation might be, we keep coming into these encounters of an insurmountable and overwhelming sense. That's a big wall. I don't know how I'm going to handle this thing. This is out of my scope. What am I going to do? How do I deal with this? They follow the Lord, knowing, one, that God has a plan and that God is the one that's leading. I think that's important for us, first off, to really acknowledge that God's the one that's got the plan and God's the one that's leading. God's got the plan, God's leading. That means God's got the ability to accomplish this however He wants to do it. Well, you and I know, why didn't they just march around one time, blow the trumpets, the wall comes down, get it done?
God's wanting them to see, like he wants you and me to see. Now, the only quick short circuit to this that could ever happen is if we really walked around with that clear acknowledgement that things aren't really, you don't have control over the things you think you do. You think you do, but you really don't. It's self-deception, believe me. All it takes is a little aneurysm, doesn't it? Huh? You know? All it takes is this situation, that little boop, you know, one bad business decision. Nope, ooh, everything went out the window. You know? It's all it takes for anybody. But who do we trust? I want to trust in the living God. I want my life to be in his hand. This is what he's teaching his people. They've crossed over by faith. They set up their markers, and they know, man, we trust in the living God. Well, now it's time to put that back into practice right here. This is something that's way outside of the regular scope of how are we going to deal with it. So they march each day, and every day is another day that helps to prepare them that only God can do this. Only God can handle this situation. Only God can fix that circumstance, that person that I'm praying for. Only God. You see, once we get to that point, you and I will stop interfering and meddling in spiritual matters where we don't belong anyway. Then we get out of the way and God can do something. Well, Pastor Jimmy, you understand. My marriage is ruined. You don't get it. We don't love each other. I don't like this whole thing's trashed. Oh, I get it. You're full of yourselves, both of you. I get it. I'm real clear on it. The only thing is you need to get it. You need to get that and get your eyes on Jesus and let Jesus fix it. Well, now you've offended me. Well, too bad. That's the truth. That's the simple truth. There's a million excuses of why everything's all messed up. But the reality is it's not God's fault. And it's not Pastor Jim's fault. Not all the time. Some of the time. But not all the time. The matter is we need to get lined up with him. And by going around and circumventing and seeing that problem on every side, there wasn't a part of that wall they didn't get a good look at marching around it. They saw every little crack, every little crevice, everything. Well, did you see that 130th stone about four rows down? That was a weird-looking rock, wasn't it? You know, I mean, you get what I'm saying? They saw it all for what it was. And there's only one thing that's going to do it, and it's God is going to take it down. This is the only way it's going to happen. If you turn over to Hebrews real quickly, one kind of a unique little nugget tucked away there fits nicely into this. Verse 11 of chapter 6. Hebrews 6. Sorry, I thought you just like by osmosis knew exactly where I was. I guess we're not really, you know, tracking in the spirit together like I thought. Chapter 6. Sorry about that. Hebrews 6, verse 11. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. You see, the reality is God spoke to Joshua, didn't he? In the first six verses, saying what was going to happen, what was going to go down, and it was the wall. The problem was going to be taken care of, wasn't it? Right? He said, this is going to way it's going to go happen. So it's all going to go down. And the wall's going to crush and burp, 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 done. You go in, take over, and that's it. It's taken care of. And he said, just believe it. Trust me in it. But isn't it interesting that there's trust me in it, and then there's our part in it. There's trust me in it, but then we've got to walk in it too. So God's doing something, putting something in. He's working in something that we need to let get worked out, right? That's a part of the way God moves in a believer's life. And so he's working that into you, and he's working that into me. Isn't it interesting? It's that through faith, but imitate those who through faith, by believing God, and patience. Faith and patience inherit the promises. Interesting. Faith, patience, and then there's the inheritance of the promises. So what's God wanting to show the people? Hey, By faith, you need to do what I've asked you to do. Believing what I've said, I will do. And in that process, patience starts to get worked into our lives. Something that we all struggle with in varying degrees. All of us, every one of us, struggle with that. But he's wanting to work that in. And the best way he could do it was just saying, hey, march around the wall. That's going to create a lot of patience, isn't it? And develop and exercise. It's that exercising, like lifting weights, working out. It's that exercising of the faith. See, it's not just the words that we say that make us, you know, faith, have faith. It's this whole life of faith where we're living out what God's speaking into our lives. It's a life of action. One of the other things I noticed here too is in verse 10, you shall not shout or make any noise with your voice, nor a word shall a word proceed out of your mouth until the day I say to you, shout, then you shall shout. There's also this need, and I think part of this is somewhat, wouldn't you say it's kind of what James talked about, in is that's self-control. If you can bridle your tongue, you know, then you've got great self-control. And there's not a person that doesn't struggle with that. And so God is wanting to work that into the believer's life, that they're to let God have that area and to just let him work things the way he wants to work things. Because isn't it your way and my our way sometimes is to try and think that we know something and then we try to direct it? And God says, let's just not do that with this. How about you just march around the wall? We'll get some faith and some patience brewing, which we don't like. And don't talk about it. Just let me have my way. Let me do my thing. And isn't it wonderful? So there's some self-control. You start seeing some of these aspects of fruit of the Spirit. This is the Spirit life we've been talking about, right? And you start seeing some of these things starting to get worked in as the Spirit's there, activated in the believer's life. Wow. Great stuff. The other thing that happened while they marched around, which is kind of an interesting thought to think about. This place just became, not one day did anybody pop out of off the top of the wall or come down and say, hey, you know, I think we want to, you know, open the gates. You guys just come in and we'll just all hang out together. It's okay. God created a testimony for himself, didn't he? Every time they went around, he was creating a testimony. Anytime you and I come around those people that are just got their lives shut up like a wall, God's creating a testimony. And every time they see that ark, the presence of God, in your life, it's creating a testimony to them of who God is. Their lives could be spared. But God is going to be just now because they don't want to have anything to do with God. God is going to be just in following through with judgment on Jericho. Created a testimony. You and I don't understand sometimes why it's taking long for this to happen or that to happen, but God's doing stuff. He's preparing us, his people, for the things that he's wanting to do. God's doing, fulfilling his purpose and his plan. Joshua in verse 22 had said to the two men who had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house and from there bring out the woman and all that she has, as you swore to her. And the young men who had been spies went in and brought out Rahab, her father, her mother, her brothers, and all that she had. So they brought down all her relatives and left them outside the camp of Israel. But they burned the city and all that was in it with fire. Only the silver and gold and the vessels of bronze and the iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And Joshua spared Rahab, the harlot, her father's household, and all that she had. So she dwells in Israel to this day because she hid the messengers whom Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. And Joshua charged them at that time, saying, cursed be
the man before the Lord who rises up and builds the city Jericho. He shall lay its foundation with his firstborn, and with his youngest he shall set up its gates. So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame spread throughout all the country. You know, Rahab, as we read through the Gospels, we find that she's in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. She was spared. This is God's grace and God's mercy, God's goodness. What a powerful thing to see how God watches out over those who have no ability to watch out over themselves. She, out of all of these people, the most unlikely suspect, if you're willing to look at it that way, the most unlikely person to be spared. Not a nobleman in the group, not a leader of the community, nothing, but only the harlot who really understood what they were doing there and what those people were doing there was spared. She was the only one that opened herself up to them, that was willing to receive who they were and their witness, their testimony. And she was spared, and her household was spared. If you read just a little bit further, but the children of Israel in verse 1 of chapter 7 committed a trespass regarding the accursed things, for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of, oh my goodness, look at these guys here. We'll skip over those. You can read them. That's why you brought a Bible right there. Of the tribe of Judah took of the accursed things, so the anger of the Lord burned against the children of Israel. This is why I circled verse 18 or made a box around and put an asterisk by it. And you, by all means, abstain from the accursed things, lest you become accursed when you take of the accursed things and make the camp of Israel accursed and trouble it. There's a whole lot to this, and I know that's our next study, but there's a lot to know about that and to think through. Be aware, be cautious, be wise, because this is the kind of thing where he took of something and one of the little mini gods, and he stashed it away in his stuff, thinking no one knows that I've got this. But see, God knows. And God knows, and God's going to deal with those matters. And I think we want to be careful. We want to be wise when it comes to things like this. What God says to leave alone, we are best off just to leave it alone. So, as you are encountering, and I am encountering, this life of faith, and we get up against those difficult times, those times where there's a large wall, a situation that I don't know how I'm going to deal with this matter. And this happens regularly. There is something special that goes on where as we continue in obedience to do the things that God tells us to do, God meets us in those spots. And let's let God mature us. Let's let God develop our lives and our journey with Him. You know, this is what this process is about. This is what God's wanting to do. He's raising a family. He's wanting to teach us as kids, you know, as his people, how to follow him, how to trust him, that he is trustworthy, you know, that we can rely on him. That wall, as soon as they shouted, the Lord, it wasn't their shout that caused the wall to come down. Nor was it David, because he was just this great shot when he flings the rock at Goliath. God guided the stone. You know, what is the wall in front of you, if you can think about that for a moment in your life? What is the wall? What is the insurmountable circumstance in your life? What is the situation that's so overwhelming? You know, when you look at those things, man, let the Lord speak into your life what his purpose, what his plan will be. Follow the Lord, and the Lord will do the work. And I think that's the big key. I mean, tonight, I really want to leave it at that. I want to let us just, you know, muse on that through the rest of this week. It's worthy of deep contemplation. Because sometimes, I got to admit, I have struggled at times just marching around the same wall. You know? Why do we keep going over this? Why didn't we just get this resolved now? Now, I've got to tell you,
as I get on the backside of that stuff, I look back and say, wow, Lord, you knew exactly what you were doing. You were preparing circumstances to be right what they were supposed to be for you to accomplish your purpose. Because see, God's God and we're not. And yet so many times it's, Lord, would you please let me sit on the throne for a little while? You know, I can decide some of this stuff. And then the Lord gently reminds you, okay, how did it go last time when you were sitting up there? Well, that was a different story. I've grown a lot. Oh, Jimmy, you just got to know. You're not supposed to ever sit on the throne. It doesn't work out for you. You don't do a good job. And it's just simply true, isn't it? We just don't do a good job. And so, oh, Lord, please, will you rule and reign and help me just to be obedient? And even if I don't get it, I liked it, the be quiet thing. Just march around the wall. Don't murmur and complain about it. Well, why are we doing this again? This doesn't make any sense, you know. I read through Joshua chapter 6 before. I've studied. I know what all it says. Yeah, I understand. But sometimes the Lord wants to march around that wall again too. Be reminded. That still small voice that speaks to our hearts and says, let me be God, please. Because you know what? The wall will come down. The very objective that you want to meet, God will do it. Let's meet him. Let's meet with him at those places, those points of contact where he says, just step out. Trust me. Do what I say. Let me be God. I'm preparing you. Think about all this. This is the beginning of their journeys in the promised land. This is the beginning of the journeys. These are all parts of the preparation for this life in the Spirit. Think about what we've learned just in 6 chapters. Stay about a half mile back. Just about arc's about a half mile ahead. Just stay about a half mile back. Perfect. No matter how long I walk with the Lord, about a half mile back. I can see it, but I can see it at a distance to where I can see the course that I'm supposed to take. Because other than that, it's all uncharted. All these things that we get to tuck away as part of this journey that we're on in the life of the Spirit. I encourage you to go back and muse on some of these, go back through, read through some of your notes, contemplate some of this stuff as we continue through this, because it all builds one upon the other. It's part of this whole thing that God's preparing his people, us. God's preparing us. God wants to reach this community. And God doesn't, with few or with many, God doesn't care. God wants to reach this part of the country. God wants to see revival more than you or I could ever want to see revival. But you know what? God's going to do it his way. And you know what? I'm good with that. No is my answer to all questions. No. I'm on God's side. Oh, Lord, we just pray that you would have your way. We're so thankful for your word and for these concepts that we can tuck away that are like building blocks in our lives, Lord. Part of that foundation that's laid in our spiritual dwelling, Lord. Lord, we're so thankful for the reality that we can trust you at your word, and that ultimately, even what seems redundant and doesn't seem to make a lot of sense, Lord, as we get a little further along, it all starts to fit together. It starts to make a whole lot more sense as we watch you in control of our lives. Lord, we just want to continue to give over to you the ministry here, Calvary Chapel here in Kansas City. Lord, we want to continue to give over to you our individual lives. And we know that, Lord, your purpose and your plan is what we want to see fulfilled. So, Lord, we just pray that you would take us and use us for your glory in ways that will please you, and that people will come to know you in a personal way, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for your presence, and that we can rely on that. We can rest in that. And it's not in and of our works. It was not by might or by power, but it was your Spirit that caused the wall to come down. Lord, we know that's going to be true in all of our lives, whatever our circumstance might be today, tomorrow, next week, next year. It's always going to be the same conclusion.
It's going to be the power of your Spirit. Help us to grow in our understanding that we might continue to please you. In Jesus' name, amen.